If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to the podcast for skint millennials. My name is Rick Worth. I am here with Grace Holliday and Robin Winter. Say hello, guys.
Hi.
Hello. You sounded like you said winter then.
Yeah.
Maybe I did.
I answer to that, actually, to be honest. I actually answer to Mr. Winter sometimes, like in the pharmacy when they're like, they've got my drugs and they're like, Mr. Winter? And I'm like, right here.
Yeah, that's just because you really want your drugs. That
yeah,
is.
That's it. Yeah. I'll take anybody's drugs.
But not this week.
More important than me mispronouncing Robin's surname, we're joined by a special guest this week. Jed Salisbury. Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, Jed.
How do you feel to be the first ever podcast guest, Jed?
I feel honoured. It is a privilege and I'll try not to let you guys down.
Okay. I mean, that would be a shame, wouldn't it?
If you let us down.
To ruin what is otherwise perfection.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to bring down the quality of the show. I don't want to be the anchor.
Yeah. No.
But every ship does need an anchor, so...
That's true. Someone to drag along.
Yeah.
Keep us where we are. Yeah.
I have a feeling you'll be dragging us along. So, just for our audience, what do you do, Jed?
What don't I do? So, by trade, I'm a stand-up comedian, and on the side, I am the Hull Comedy Festival director. I freelance in marketing. I one-to-one social care work. I work in an off-license and I promote things.
Excellent. I forgot you worked in an off-license.
Yeah.
Not for much longer by the sounds of things, but whatever.
Is that a good or bad?
Yeah,
I am having a terrible week professionally. Oh. Let's keep it upbeat though, guys.
Yeah, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
So, should we talk about you being on telly now? Or want to say
As seen on BBC Three. I don't know if it's telly, if it's iPlayer.
It's still telling.
Yeah, I think that
it's on posters.
Yeah, yeah. Are you on a poster?
I am on loads of posters. like in an
I meant specifically for your BBC Three.
No, not specifically for that, but like obviously when you
comedy
gig,
posters.
They you have to get headshots and then they print them, and then I've been in takeaways at like 3 AM drunk and realised I'm on three posters.
Oh, nice.
Like my friends are just like, for fuck's sake, and I'm just like, oh, look at that handsome guy.
Oh, that's great. Tell us about the BBC Three program. What was it? Because you were naked.
It was basically the naked truth, and obviously, as you can tell by my voice, I'm a very fat guy. So yeah, it was one of them. We went on there, we talked about obesity, went naked on it, and the internet went wild with it. It was the most watched thing on iPlayer at one point.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah.
I did go on iPlayer. And I didn't know whether it was based on my preferences, but
yeah,
a number of times you were the first thing that comes up.
Like my favorite is YouTube because me naked is the like thumbnail, and the top comment on it is, "Oh, I'm so disappointed. This is a fat Post Malone." Top comment, and I was like, "I'm disappointed. I'm not fat Post Malone as well."
Is it a good idea when people say they're fat to be like, "No, no, you're not"? Because I always wonder about, if I say I'm fat sometimes, people are like, no, you're not. And I'm like, no, I am. And it's fine. Like, I've come to terms with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't say, I'm not like, oh, I'm fat. I like to think, if you can't tell I'm fat, you're screwed. Like, you're blind. You've got bigger problems than my weight. So.
But should we be going, no, Jed, no, you're not
I think it's fine. Accept it. Embrace it. Like, I don't want to promote an unhealthy lifestyle or out, but at the same time, you know, black person be like, oh, I'm so black today. You can't be like, no.
You're not at all black.
Not that the same thing. Like, yeah. One's a choice, one's
not. That's what going,
yeah, well, I had a choice to like be fat or black. And I was like, oh, can I not have both? They went, no. And I was like,
no,
okay.
That's it. It's good we're talking about TV, because this week's theme is television.
What
and
a seamless link.
I know, yeah.
He's the king of seamless links.
I'm so good at awkwardly segueing into the next subject. Yeah, we're going to talk about telly this week and poor people being on the telly. But before then, Robin has a punch-up.
So my punch-up is rich people who say they're middle class. So it's like, I feel like middle class means something and it doesn't mean extremely wealthy. And sometimes they're like, oh, you know, like they'll joke, like, oh, I'm so middle class. It's like, no, you're not. You're actually like the top of the upper class.
Hmm.
Like, you are not the middle.
But is upper class not like the royal family? Not royal family, but like,
well,
landowners.
No, it should be, there should be like landowners. Yeah. Well, there should be like a. But yeah, but landowners say the middle class. This is what I mean. Like, I'm okay with middle class people saying the middle class.
I mean, my parents own land. We're definitely not middle class.
Yeah.
I think I meant, like, I thought that the upper class was, like, then dukes and royals.
The gentry.
The gentry, yeah. Who sometimes aren't wealthy, but have trappings.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
So, yeah, but then there's upper middle class as well.
Yeah.
Maybe that's who you're angry at.
That's who I'm angry at, yeah. So there's, like, middle class people where the children all have their own bedroom. That's lower middle class. And then there's, like, upper middle class where they've got, like, a house in Spain and... No, wait, that... I don't know. My perception of middle class might be a bit skewed based on growing up.
I think it's just such a huge category, and it does include all sorts of different things. I know what you mean, though. Like, and I think it's because sometimes people are embarrassed for people to know how rich they are.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're like, oh, I'm so middle class, and it's just like you do not have any perception of like how low it goes. If you think you're in the middle.
I think it's right. It's an embarrassment, but it's a polite embarrassment because it's presumably if it's these people you're talking about are talking to one of us, it's because they know we're paupers, so they're not going to show off their wealth.
Also, at the same time, if they don't know how low it goes, we don't know how high it goes.
Exactly.
That is true. So, yeah, like,
it's
that
all
is
about
a really
perspective
good point.
On that point.
Yeah,
right?
And I feel like it depends on who you spend time with. So if you go to private school and you have one house with a pool, you're probably going to feel quite middle class compared to your classmates who've got houses in 10 different countries across the world and 3 pools outside their house and tennis courts.
But you are still in, like, the top 7% of the population, like...
But do those people realise that? The people
that's
that
what
only
I mean.
Have one house
they need to realise. Yeah.
Maybe somewhere out there there's a podcast featuring 4 people complaining that they've only got 1 swimming pool and the rest of society has several houses.
The Jenners.
Being poor and the telly.
Yes.
This has just occurred to me. Were you guys just given the TV to watch as something to do because you were poor? Like,
yeah, the TV was my entire childhood.
It was like a babysitter.
Yeah.
I was not allowed a TV in my room until ever. Like, literally 6 months ago, we put a TV up in the wall, and that's the first time I've ever had a TV at 28.
What do you do when you're lying in bed?
I read.
You both went to places I wasn't thinking of.
I read a lot, yeah. And I had to go to bed at, like, 8 o'clock up until the age of about 14, and I think it got pushed to about 9 when I was about 15, and if I was up past 9, my dad would come in and check if the light bulb was hot. And all I was doing was reading, for God's
genius,
sake.
But...
Furthering my
that's
education.
So cute.
Yeah, no TVs allowed in any of our bedrooms when we were kids, me and my siblings.
And that's why you've got a master's now. I do not have a master's.
I feel like your parents were quite cruel.
Yeah.
I mean, up until you were 10, I can remember 14.
No, do you know what? I was 14 before I had a mobile phone as well. I didn't recently find it. A couple of years ago, I found a letter that I wrote to my mum saying, Mum, I'm now 14. I've got 3 different boys texting me. I need my own mobile phone. 3 different boys. What a little slut.
You see, I did have a mobile phone and nobody was texting me.
Well, I mean, that raises the question, who are these boys?
They were all friends, to be fair.
Oh, no, sorry. I meant, who are they texting?
Oh, my mum's phone. I borrowed my mum's phone when I was at home. So I wrote her a letter being like, I now need my own phone. But having my own phone was a lot more important than having my own
TV. I mean, you wrote your mum a letter. That's something I would never... The only time I ever wrote my mum a letter is I know I fucked up. Like, I had to apologise somehow, and it was going to have to be a letter. Yeah. And I left it on a note with like breakfast in bed. I'm like, I'm sorry I got kicked out of school.
Is that what it was about? I was going to say, you can't say this in the nutshell, is what the letter was about.
I don't remember. I never got kicked out of school for the full time. I mean, a couple of times I don't.
You suspended.
Yeah. I wasn't a bad kid in school, but I was just kind of like, I'm really bored of being here. It's a park down the road. I'm leaving at lunchtime.
And so you got suspended for truancy?
Yeah. So the punishment for truancy is less time at school.
Yeah, I never thought that made any sense.
That's one of my regrets, actually. I know we've kind of gone a bit off topic, but that is one of my regrets, is not
having three different boys.
Not doing more to be suspended at school, because that does not mean anything in adult life. No. But I thought it would ruin my entire life. Yeah, exactly. They're like, this is it, if you get suspended, that's your life over.
See, do you know what? I think I got it out of my system when I did my year in America, because for some reason me and three other international girls decided that we would do whatever we could to get in trouble with public safety. Public safety are basically on campus police officers. So like every night for about 3 months we just did the naughtiest things we possibly could in order to get in trouble. I don't know why, I don't know what came over me.
What were Grace naughty things to do?
We would like
she stayed until
Grace beat me too.
We would like come back from the bar and like lie on the green singing Drake songs really loudly. Oh. Until public safety came and told us to be quiet.
To be everybody fair, stand back.
We've got a bad eye.
Literally, that was as naughty as... No, to be fair, we did have... There was like a going home time? God, I'm so old that I can't remember what that's
curfew.
Called anymore. A curfew.
Yeah.
So any like house parties or like dorm parties or frat parties had to be done by midnight. But we had a few out at the International House where we all lived, and I would like sweet talk the public safety officers like... Can we just have another hour? And he'd be like, I won't be making my rounds again for another 45 minutes, but you all need to be gone by then. And we'd be like, woo, party in the house.
To be fair,
really not that wild at all.
That is not an okay rule, I think. Like, people should be allowed to stay outside as they
Yeah, when you're at a university, like, go for it.
Yeah, but it was a really small college, 1,200 students, and a lot of not 21-year-olds.
Speaking of truancy, we've gone completely off TV here, but my attendance for my last year of school was 33%.
Nice, well done.
I mean, it's not that. My future is explained in that.
I thought Robbie went nice, and I was like, what?
My parents were at work. There was no one to tell me to do it. Mm-hmm. So I'd get up, go to school about 10-ish, wait till lunch, and then we'd go to the park. Or we'd go do whatever we wanted.
What did you do in the park?
Just hung out, played football, just park things.
Read books.
we studied for our GCSEs.
What year were you in America, Grace?
2010 to
2011. So maybe in 2018, a foreign mixed race girl misbehaving on campus is just a recipe for disaster. Like, that you're so lucky that back in the golden age of 2011. Yeah. So, speaking of things that you're not supposed to do, oh god, this is an awkward segue. Do you ever guys ever watch a TV program? Like, just a sitcom, just a regular, comfortable TV program, and the characters are doing things that you just think, how the fuck have they afforded that?
Mm. Like, I thought you were going to talk about them having sex and you're watching it with your parents. That's not what you're talking about here.
No.
I mean, no, it That's isn't. I mean,
they're doing things.
So, like, I mean, actually, Friends is one of the TV shows that actually dealt with it briefly. Is that people just go out for dinner or they'll just have money to do zany schemes.
Baseball games all the fucking time in Friends.
Mm.
And I just sometimes occasionally I'm like, oh, I couldn't. If I was part of this sitcom, my character would be like, oh, I can't do that, guys, I can't afford to.
Six friends, there would always be one who like couldn't afford to go to Barbados or something, you know, when they all go to Barbados. Although that's later on when they've miraculously all got amazing careers out of nowhere. Phoebe, like, she would be skin. Like, she'd be skin as fuck.
And Joey would be, because he's a working actor.
Joey got successful in the end.
Yeah, he did in the end.
And
yeah.
Chandler was bankrolling Joey.
Yeah, that's true. Because he was going to build him a little room above the garage for him to grow old in.
And Ross and Monica were extremely privileged.
Yes.
As was Rachel, although she was out making it on her own.
But Rachel then worked in fashion, didn't she?
Yeah. So what I'm really talking about is, what is our opinion of the Friends?
I do know exactly what you mean, the phenomenon. And, like, the phenomenon of, like, no consequences as well, which is, like, a similar thing.
Oh, that drives me mad. That still happens a lot in our, like, teen dramas these days. Mm. Like, teenagers just do stupid things. Do you know something that seems to be happening all the time? I watched the second season of 13 Reasons Why, and so many people got beaten up, and all they had was, like, a cut on the forehead. I'm like, no, you'd be in hospital with broken ribs for about a week if that happened to you.
Yeah.
Is that, like,
you'd
cartoon
have a
thing?
Concussion. Yeah,
the cartoon thing where somebody runs into a wall and just stands back up and carry on.
There's definitely a thing where, like, at certain kind of age brackets, they're not allowed to show too much blood, or, like, so, like, actually, like, in a lot of films, like a lot of 12As, people get really beaten up, but they're not bleeding because they're not allowed to show blood. Mm. But I think that's a bit twisted, because it shows kids that you can beat someone up really bad and they're not bleeding, so they're fine.
Yeah, and that's definitely not the thing with 13 Reasons, because the thing that happens in the finale is literally one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen in my life.
Super spoilers. Yeah.
So, adding to my bad boy behaviour, we used to get in fights quite frequently. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you never used to walk away. Like, there were most fights that happen in real life are not as cool as they look in movies.
No.
Most of the time, people don't hit that hard. Like,
It's a lot of grappling.
Yeah, you know? People wrestle more than strike.
Yeah, the one I'm referring to is they put a hood over his head, and then he falls on the floor, and there's like seven boys around him kicking him for like 30 seconds, and I'm like, and then he just gets up and walks normally, and I'm like, pretty sure you wouldn't be walking normally after that.
Didn't
Whereas real fighting probably real fighting probably wouldn't be. Seven people kicking one boy on the floor for 30 seconds.
Well, we used to do mosh pits. That was just a dance to us. You're not getting away from that. Yeah, you don't walk away.
No. I remember my brother got jumped a few years ago.
Jumped, that's what it's called.
Yeah, and he was in absolute bits after that. Like, I don't know, like really broken.
You haven't been beaten up, Rick. I'm looking at Rick here. Robin,
for
the mirror.
I have not been beaten up.
Not term. I've been in fights, but I don't think I've never been jumped. I've had friends who were jumped. Mm. And so, oddly, what you're talking about people getting beaten up in TV shows and not be properly beat up, my fiance is really obsessed with that, particularly. So let me explain. She's obsessed with that. This is going to a really dark and terrible place right now. It's going to be very hard for some of us to squeeze some laughs out of this section.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. So when Beth was at university, she ran a bar, and like genuinely, some dude fully punched her in the side of the head and like detached her optic nerve or whatever, and like knocked her out. So when we're watching a film now, and there is some kind of domestic violence, or even if it's not domestic violence, even if it's like a superhero film and like a henchman punches like a female superhero, Beth is immediately like, there's no way that an untrained woman can fight an untrained man. She's really like aware of just how unbalanced it is.
So
I know everyone was talking, but I didn't want to join in because my only input was really depressing.
I need to go back to this. What happened to the guy that did it?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It was before, so I think the law's changed now.
You used to be able to punch bar people.
And it kind of like, oh, it's a hazard of the job if someone's drunk.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no, like, genuinely the law like was kind of in defense of drunk people and not bar staff. But I think, like, after the smoking ban, that has changed somewhat.
What a bizarre stimulus.
I say, nothing ever happened to that man by the law. However, the bouncers are extremely loyal.
Never upset a bouncer or a bar staff member because the bouncers know where the cameras aren't. And as far as the bouncers are concerned, there's six of them confessing that he kicked off and it must have happened when he left the club.
On kind of representation, one thing that just reminded me when you were saying, Jed, that really gets on my nerves is like, I love that there are some like kids in tower blocks in dramas at the moment, but I feel like there's like poor isn't just living in a city in a tower block. Like, you know, they never do any like rural poor dramas or like, I don't know, like maybe Happy Valley, there's a bit of like
Happy
rural
Valley was
poverty.
Fantastic.
Oh,
okay.
That was the first
time I've ever seen that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You've got the Dingles in Emmerdale. What more do you
want?
Maybe it's because tower blocks are southern. I mean, I know that's not London, true. There are tower blocks in Leeds.
Everywhere, yeah.
But, like, the more identifiable as being...
Yeah. Like, the people who produce those shows live next door to an inner city London.
Also, the amount of poor rural versus the amount of inner city poor, they're making it sure to be relatable. Mm. So, why, like, if you're zoning on poor rural, it's relatable to a small minority, whereas if you go...
I think that's true of, like, tower blocks. Like, I think, really, there aren't enough of, like, just very bog-standard council estate dramas. And, like,
and
one
also
thing...
just the kind of houses that we get in Leeds that are just, like, back to back and washing lines and chairs outside. Like, that is a much more realistic depiction for
me. I'm struggling to think of, like, a positive... show. Like, you had Shameless, but that was a very kind of negative show.
Yeah, I was going to mention Shameless, because I, as a kid, it came on, like the UK Shameless came on TV when I was a kid, and my mum used to watch it and really enjoy it, because it was set in a council estate, it was really close to Manchester, which we're relatively close to Manchester, and I'm sure it's very, very good. But I just couldn't watch it, because it didn't feel like comedy to me.
It's real.
Well, that's the argument I had at university. We were doing a debate on it.
Yeah.
And there was, like, I remember just talking to people going, and they were like, this is so unrealistic. It just wouldn't happen. And I was like, I could take you on my council's
team.
And introduce you to them characters.
Yes.
Like it 100%. Was, it's something I resonated with, but I was like, it's not showing them in a positive way. And it was the kind of a weird pride of, like, these are my people. And then you're like, these are my people.
Yeah.
But they're my people, so if anyone says anything bad about them...
I felt oddly the same in about the Royal Family. Mm-hmm. Although I've watched the Royal Family since, and it's clearly just genius comedy.
Yeah.
But at the time I was like, these people are really boring and wasting their lives and just sit watching the telly, I would say, as I was watching the telly.
I really hard relate to the Royal Family, a lot. And I think with that, what was clever about the Royal Family was, like, maybe you didn't have, like, a Jim Royal in your family, but you had a Nana, or you had a Denise, or, you know, like, you had kind of one of the family members. I would be surprised if any working class person didn't have someone they related to.
Yeah, couldn't identify any of those characters. Yeah. Is it Caroline Hurd who wrote it?
Yeah.
Who's now sadly dead?
What's his name? Cash? Craig Cash.
Craig Cash, yeah.
Yeah. It was. I want to watch it again now. It's so good.
I think This Is England is one of the best depictions of working class in England.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of it was set in those ordinary council estate houses, which you just don't really see on other things. But, again, it's, like, almost too real, some of the scenes that they're quite hard to watch. Like, I'm not even just talking about in the film, like, I don't know, I won't do any spoilers, even though it's quite an old film, like the end of the film.
Yeah.
But just, like, a lot of the bits that happen.
I remember watching that in my 20s and even still watching the end scene going, thinking to myself, I'm not old enough to watch this. Do you know what I mean? When you watch something, you go, I don't have the capacity to deal with watching this kind of thing, because it feels like you're in the room watching it.
Like, the whole thing as well, not even just that end scene. Like, I was, if it had stopped halfway through, I would still have been, like, a bit shook by that film, just because of, like, how...
This is making me want to watch it again. I'll watch it
tonight. And the TV series as well, it is, like, quite dark in place, in a lot of places.
If you watch quite a lot of Shane Meadows' work, though, it is quite relatable to us, but that's because he's from Grimsby.
Yeah.
And he grew up in the same sort of areas and the same background as I am, anyway. So I watch it and I go, this is super relatable. Like, even some of his, like, more out there stuff, it's just like, if you pull it back a bit, it's like, this is a story that could happen my street.
It's the way it's written as well. It's like all the character, it's people who know how those characters talk to each other. Yeah. And I think that's a problem sometimes when they do dramas that feature working class people or people who are from council estates. They only talk like people think.
Yeah,
people on council estates talk.
I just remembered another one as well. What was the one about lottery? Those people who did
At Home with the Braithwaites.
The Syndicate.
The Syndicate. Yeah, that was good as well.
That was really good. They did two. I think they did two really good seasons, and they did a third one with Lenny Henry, and it just completely lost the plot, and it was just absolutely rubbish. But the first two were excellent, and I think they were a really good depiction of, like, what did real they, how working
did they,
class
where
people.
Where did they work? Was there a factory or something?
It was different ones in each one. Oh, I think was the it? First one was a shop, a corner shop, maybe? Well, I might have made it. Oh, no, one was a hospital. The second one was a hospital. Okay. We should go back to Happy Valley as well. I do really think that is one of the best.
Oh, Happy Valley.
But it is a bit bleak. That's the only thing.
So this is something that I think is interesting. So we kind of all have not a similar opinion that, like, oh, it's a bit uncomfortable for us to see such a realistic depiction. Do you think the people who aren't from our type of background see it and either think, oh, that's what all working class people like, or, oh, that's not real, it's fiction?
I think you can't presume that people, just because they're not working class, must look at it in either one of those two lights. I think, like, we don't, like, I think it's wrong to presume that they would watch it and go, oh, everyone working class is like that. Because that's the same as being like, oh, all black people are, you know.
But I mean, do people, like, see that and say, so I can't think of a good example of trying to connect it to race, which would make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. But do you think Jay tried to do that earlier, so have a go.
Do you think, like, so people outside of that community, outside of those type of communities, see it and realize that there are, like, the problems and the horrible parts of those, the what causes them? So they wouldn't be like, oh, poor people are stupid. They see, oh, poor people don't get, like, access to learning. And that's something that should be addressed.
I think it depends. Oh! What do you think it depends on, Robin?
I actually lost my plot of what I was going to say. I was just going to say it depends on the depiction. It depends on what it is. I think some things it like, spells it out. Some bits it's like, sometimes, oh, these people are bad and they're also poor.
I think we shouldn't presume that just because people are middle to upper class, it means that they can't possibly watch a show.
I mean, the things like This Is England wouldn't have had that enormous amount of success if all sorts of people weren't watching.
Yeah, but I'm sure that there is a group of people who watch it, and the same with everything. I feel like all classes do it to all different programs and all that kind of thing, that people watch things and go, oh, that must be what everybody's like. Same with like the way that we treat Muslims in this country, that you see one Muslim terrorist and you go, well, all terrorists must, like, we don't think like that, do we? So I think it would be the same.
Are you see, I have this debate about Ken Loach's Movers. Everyone's like, oh, Ken Loach, he's such a voice for the working class. But
what did he?
He did, so he directs really, like, he's,
did I guess Kez?
He did, like, Kez and
Daniel Blake.
I've still not seen that. No, I haven't either.
But I don't think everyone says he's the voice for the working class. I disagree immediately, because I don't know anyone on my council estate that would probably have watched a Ken Loach movie.
Despite
they're the people that depict him. I think he's good at showing the middle class what the working class is like.
Almost everyone I know, in my council that had seen Kez. But then, I mean, Kez is a grim film, but I have funny memories of it because I just think of a man who's in love with a bird called Kez, which is not what the film is about. Well, it is, but, you know, that's a metaphor for other things. We kind of goes the other way, doesn't it? Because, like, Downton Abbey. I had to stop myself from calling it Downtown Abbey, which is what I normally call it. That kind of, like, really whitewashed the upper classes, didn't it? And was like, oh, yeah, no, all the servants were definitely happy to be servants. Like, they all loved it. And don't worry that there's no black people, because, of course, they were invented in 1950 when white people decided they needed jazz. Like, it's ridiculous.
What I think of in my head as the Benedict Cumberbatch effect. And he once made a comment, and I think it was just a flippant, like, offhand comment, and I don't want to take it out of context, which is kind of how I saw it out of context, probably. But he made a comment about how great it was in the Victorian era when, like, you know, everything was just all fine and, like, everyone knew their place in society. And it's like, every era is great for the rich people, for, you know, like, his family that owned slaves. But, like, for the people who were the slaves,
Cumberbatch's family owned slaves?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. So there's this woman who's, like, some kind of counsellor somewhere in the States. Her last name is Cumberbatch. She's black. Her last name's Cumberbatch, and it was because her family used to be owned by Benedict comes back to his family.
Oh my god!
I mean, that's unfair to blame. Come back.
Allegedly, I don't know.
I mean, if we dug far enough, there's a high chance some of our family might have.
Yeah.
Well, not mine. Mine are all like.
Yeah, not mine.
Maybe
on the other side.
but I do think there's like you've got responsibility. You know, if that is your family background, everything.
Yeah, if you descended from slave owners, pray maybe don't say slave owning is great.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like you can just tell like the way he looks at it, and I don't like him anyway because he always plays the same character in everything.
My favorite celebrity quote, however, of stupid things to say was from Lee Ryan from Blue.
Oh yeah.
Someone asked him what his thoughts on 9/11 was, and he went, "Who gives a fuck about 9/11 when these whales and fish dying in the ocean?" Like he was trying to be political, and I'm like, "Oh, you tried."
And also, it's not either or.
Jeez. Like he was definitely being like, "Look, guys, look how cool I am. Like I care about the." And he was like, "Pick your field of battle, there, Lee."
Yeah. I actually did the exact opposite this week. I was in Leeds City Centre walking up Briggate, which is the main shopping street in Leeds. And there was a huge group of youths protesting that more people should be vegan. And I think I was just in a bad mood, but I was on the phone to my mum at the time and I was like, these fucking people protesting that we should all be vegan. How about we sort out fucking genocide and slavery and racism before we start looking at what we're fucking eating?
But Grace, the cows are facing a genocide. I don't know if you know this.
They're trying
but
to stop
the cows can be my slaves. I'm fucking fine with that. I'm going to eat them.
Oh, Grace.
You're the only person who's allowed to even remotely get away with
it. We're all just like, oh, let's not go on Grace.
I don't know if you've heard, but slavery is actually pretty bad. me and my friend ran a competition on Twitter to decide who was the best JK. And it was either J.K. Rowling, J.K. from Jamiroquai, J.K. Simmons.
Who that's a good one, though.
And then,
hang on, who's he?
He's in the film about Drummond. What's that called? Whiplash. He's J. Jonah Jameson.
The old guy with bald head.
Yeah, him.
He's pretty cool.
He's a fantastic actor. Or J.K. Jerome, which is Jerome K. Jerome, who's a Victorian humorist.
Oh.
He come in dead last, which I thought was bullshit.
Yeah, surprising.
And I think J.K. Simmons come first.
Okay.
And then just because people like Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling, got up. People agreed that...
I've had a recent revelation about J.K. Rowling. So, you know, everyone's like talking about how you can't just add stuff into books after... You know, like when you've written a book and then you're like, oh, it turns out Ron's bisexual or whatever. You know, like...
What?
No, I don't think she said that. But like, you know, like she always like, oh yeah, everyone in Hogwarts was Jewish.
Yeah.
Like...
everyone in Hogwarts is Jewish.
Again, no,
what she said is weird.
Tread lightly because you're treading on our dreams.
Yeah. What she said was weirder than all the kids at Hogwarts are Jewish. She said there's at least one Jewish kid at Hogwarts, which I thought would have been a given that wouldn't have had to have been clarified. But she was like, no, there was at least one. And you're like,
Didn't find him, but we will.
But like, everyone's like, I don't know, like, throwing shade on her because she's adding these stuff into Harry Potter. But then like I'm like, yes, okay, fine. I concede that she should have wrote that into the initial book. Yeah. But she didn't. Isn't it then better to then say, okay, yeah, you know, like there were Jewish kids at Hogwarts, even if I didn't explicitly say that, rather than just not.
I kind of feel like J.K. needs to kind of let Harry Potter go a little bit.
Yeah, she does.
I feel people need to let her. She tried writing another book.
Her other books are excellent. And like, what's Casual Vacancy? Have you got
that's
it?
On my shelf.
Oh, it's one of my faves. It's so good.
I just give it to Charity Shop because I've never read it.
Oh, you should read it. It's very much about class.
I think the problem is, I don't think the people who are saying you can't just suddenly say Dumbledore's gay or saying that Dumbledore isn't gay.
No. The problem is that it wasn't in the original book.
So I think what the problem is that she is, on a few occasions, kind of spoken out against the fan fiction community and so, you know, there's the fan theory that other kid's the chosen one and the Harry is like a smokescreen.
Yeah.
Which
other Neville.
Kid? Neville. Because all the prophecy applies to Neville as well. He has the sword and shit. Yeah, people like that theory. It's interesting.
Like that.
It's like the theory that James Bond is a title.
It's mentioned in the books that people have that theory. Yeah, like, it's not a made up fan theory.
The choice was Neville or Voldemort. Yeah. Voldemort chose.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to share my superpower.
So maybe this theory came out before the last book was out.
Yeah.
But then she like came out, was like, no, you can't have these fan theories, they're stupid, only what I say after the fact is what's in these
books. Is that you quoting?
That's verbatim. Yeah.
I think, why not? She made it up. She can keep making it up.
I think it's better for her to go this, this and this then. Because I was a big fan of the Star Wars universe, and I don't know if you guys are aware, a lot of shit got made up. So much Disney just went, everything other than the films isn't true. We're starting again.
But I mean, none of it's true.
But do you know what I mean?
None of it's canon.
Only the first three films really happened.
I have to say,
I disagree with you guys. I think that when you write a book, you write the book and then you send it out into the universe and it's not yours to
I agree with Grace entirely.
Ooh, like, split down the table.
Your work is half the audience's as well.
Yeah.
If they interpret it as something else, that's entirely
I think
up to
it's
them.
Similar with music as well. I'm not going to be able to remember the example, but there's a song that I heard and thought, this is the way I interpret it. And then I read them in an interview being like, no, it's about this. And it really ruined the song for me because I was like, no, that means something else to me.
Actually, yeah, that's interesting. Stevie Nicks, her dad thinks Landslide is about him, and she was like, no, Dad, it's not about you. And it's like, oh, that's a shame. You could just let your dad think it was about him.
This is a slight aside about an interpretation of a song. So, Kate Bush's Cloudbursting.
Is it about you?
Well, so, the song is actually about, and this is true, a man who invented a weapon. I'll start that again. The song is actually about a man who invented a weather-controlling device to wage war on people, which is against the Geneva Convention, and the government, I think he was German, the government showed
up. This is real.
This is what the song is actually about.
But there was a guy that really invented the weather-controlling weapon.
Oh, yeah, he tried to. Yeah, he's a bit of a con man. And then the government came and took all his research.
He was the Wizard of Oz.
But my friend told his girlfriend that, and she was like, no, it's not. It's just about a nice song about a woman who loses her father. And it's not. That song isn't about that. No. It's genuinely about the Wizard of Oz, I promise you.
But that just goes back on what you just said about how half of it is about...
She can interpret it that way.
99 Red Balloons isn't just about a party with 99 Red Balloons. It's about these red balloons setting off alarms that send the world into a nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also,
it's not about 99 red balloons either, is it? It's about
99 red balloons.
Yeah, it's about whatever it is in German that's actually not 99 red balloons, but.
And we are in the UK. We are the only ones that got the English version.
Oh, really?
America got the, I think it's German in it. They got 99 love balloons, but England were like, no, we're not having a German song.
After what we've been through.
Yeah.
There's also this really beautiful song by Ludovico Einaudi, who's a classical musician, pianist guy. And he has a song called The Crane Dance. And for about 2 years, I was convinced that it was about, like, when you look over a city and you see loads of cranes and they're moving really slowly, how it looks really beautiful.
Yeah.
And then my friend was like, you do know there's birds called cranes. Ruined. Fucking ruined. It's actually about
birds. Think it's about Fraser and Niles Crane dancing on their father's grave.
What? This is a pop reference. Another pop reference that I don't get.
You don't know what... you are mixed race. Yeah, Fraser is something that white people have.
Yeah. Did you know? So I was
you do understand that mixed race means that I'm partly white and black, right?
You don't get everything. You don't get everything.
I was reading about Fraser.
I get rice and peas, so I don't get that.
They try... So Kelsey Grammer wanted to cast a Latina woman as Daphne, and they found Jane Leaves, and they were like, no, we want her. We want the English one. And overwrote him or whatever.
I've heard Kelsey Grammer's an arsehole. Is that true?
I think they're all arseholes, aren't they?
You're talking about Fraser, the TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
It would not surprise me. Like, he had this... I was, again, reading about Fraser recently. I don't just have all this knowledge. Yeah, he like drink drove and like flipped his car, and he had to go into rehab, and he had to rewrite some of the episodes so that he wasn't in them.
Because he was in hospital.
Because he drink drove. Well, no, because he was at whatever the American Priory is. He did sing the theme tune.
He wrote and sung the theme tune.
Yeah, although still it is very. I know, I get the reference. It is very good.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of it is about class, which you don't think it is.
And she's from American. Manchester, which is in the north of Daphne.
Yeah.
At one point was the most highly paid woman on television.
Yeah.
So proof, kid, you can make
but,
it.
But, oh my God, her siblings in that. Her mum's quite good. I think she must really be English.
Is this going over your head as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at your DVD collection going, okay, that makes sense, that makes sense. Step Up 3, back to normal things.
We have got a lot of the same films, me and Grace.
Do you know what?
Step Up 3 is one of my favourites.
These are all old. These is because I was living in Macclesfield and the Blockbuster shut down. Yeah. So they reduced all their films to like 50p. So I just went in and went wild and spent like 18 quid.
That's good.
I've not even watched half a thing.
Oh, Colour Purple, excellent. The book is excellent. Oh, you should definitely read that.
Atonement, I watched that recently. That's
Atonement is amazing. I keep trying to get my boyfriend to watch Atonement and he won't because it sounds depressing.
But the World Producers, War, that is a freaking great film.
Yes, that you guys is good. Yeah.
If you, sorry, she's I just remember the line about when he walks in and she goes, "If you will let me take your Schwarzenegger."
I don't feel the need to. I just love that bit.
So that's it for this episode of the podcast, where we didn't really talk about television. This week, we would like to thank, as ever, our editor, Charlotte Nichols, our host, Acast, and our partners, The Overtake. If you're interested in contacting us, you can find us on Twitter at The Podcast or email us at thepodcastuk@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Instagram.
And you can follow us on Instagram, thank you.
Same as Twitter.
Yes. It's the same as Twitter. We would also like to say thank you to Jed.
Yay!
Here he is. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah. Have you had a nice time, Jed?
It's been lovely, yeah.
Was it nice not being told to get naked?
Well, I mean, yeah. let's not write off the day yet.
You're like, I am actually naked. Yeah, the table. Yeah.
It is obscenely
warm. The table
warm
starts
here.
Rocking.
Jed, have you got any gigs coming up that the people should know about?
I'm gigging all of the time, so just follow me on my social medias at Jedness on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yeah, we'll stick those in this week's description.
You've
as
also
well.
Got the coolest new tour name.
Yeah, Jed Talk is our show that I'm working
do
on
you get
to,
it?
To Edinburgh.
Do you get
yeah,
it?
That's and frustratingly
it's
good.
So yeah. Yeah.
It's good, right?
Yeah. Funny. That's good. What were you doing on Jed Talk?
It's my first hour solo show, so...
An hour,
yeah.
Oh, shall we go and heckle
that's
him?
Quite a long time
it's, so I think it's kind of vague, but the idea is me trying to become a better person.
Oh,
I can definitely heckle
like a
that.
TED Talk where it's like, you know, you leave them on a positive note. Mine will be, I tried these things and I'm still an asshole. So.
And did you say you're taking that to Edinburgh?
Hopefully next year. Currently, I've got in the Beverley Festival, the Hull Comedy Festival, York Festival, and a couple of us knocking
excellent.
About.
Sweet.
That's good stuff. Right, well, I guess it's just goodbye then.
It is. Yeah. Speak to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See you later.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.